John 17:24. The title of the message is What We Shall Be. What We Shall Be. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. Now, them that the Father gave to the Son, he chose in a covenant of grace by his eternal decree of election before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And he chose them in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ as his children, his spouse, his brethren, in a very near covenant relationship, and the Lord Jesus Christ espoused them unto himself. And according to the Father's will, the Father purposed to bring that group of individuals to final glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ purposed in himself to do everything that was required to absolutely assure that that group of individuals that the Father had given him as his bride make it home to glory without the loss of the least one.
Amen.
Now that was his determination. He's not going to lose one. Father, all that thou hast given me, I have lost nothing.
Amen.
And so there it was. And he says, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Now, this declaration of his will as a covenant partner in the everlasting covenant of grace. The three persons of the Godhead had agreed together before the foundation of the world concerning those whom the Father had elected in the Son that they should be brought to final glory.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, as man and mediator, declares his will. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am.
Amen. Amen.
Now there are no second guessings in that, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Right.
He declared his will. Now this is not, this is as a covenant partner. They had agreed together. The Father had elected the people. The Son had redeemed them virtually, for he stood as a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. And the Holy Spirit effectually calls that group of individuals to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and none other way. I am the door. There's only one door. And there's only one church. There is one hope, one hope of your calling, one God and one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, I will. Now that's the Father's will too. That's the will of all three of the divine persons because they had agreed together in the covenant of grace. So there's nothing that the Son had willed that the Father didn't will. Because I and my Father are one in their essence and perfections and glory in their designs and covenant purposes. He said, Father, I will. That they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, he wasn't there in his person as God-man mediator as yet. Though he was there in his divine person, in that he is God everywhere present. He is omnipresent. But he's looking forward to, and notice that he said, where I am. He was just as sure to be seated at the right hand of the Father as he was sure to go to that cross, as he was sure to do everything that the Father had determined that he should be done, that should be done, and that he should do before the foundation of the world. So he speaks here as though it's already accomplished. And much of the scripture is written as though it were already accomplished because what God has purpose to do, he will certainly bring to pass because he is not of limited wisdom nor power. what his infinite wisdom determines to be done, his infinite power is able to bring to pass and cause it to be done by the direction of his providence, his control over all things.
Amen.
Nothing happens in this world by mistakes, good, bad, or ugly.
That's not true.
Whatever God determines, he brings to pass, and whatever it takes to bring it to pass, that's what he brings to pass. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Now we know that we were given to him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now the Lord, the intention of our beholding his glory is not for his sake, but it's for our sake. It's for our sake. Because of the relationship that we bear to the Lord Jesus Christ, being in him through covenant grace, when we behold his glory, we behold the steadfastness of our condition in him. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in a condition and position of immutable stability, which has been prepared in God's book of predestination from all eternity. And as we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we behold the stability of our immutable condition before God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are, he said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches.
Amen.
Long as that vine's alive, the branches are in pretty good shape. They're joined to him, they're one. Now, Brother Jerry and I were talking before, and he was talking about the moral law. The moral law is every commandment in the Bible, but particularly the moral law is the Ten Commandments. And every one of those Ten Commandments is a promise to his children. Every one of his children, though they may be sluggish here, Brother Jerry, in our prayer life, in whatever way it is, the time is coming when we certainly shall be perfectly conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise. The time's coming when we shall be absolutely gracious persons. That old theory of man, that you kill my dog, I'll kill your cat, that'll no longer be part of us.
That's right.
But we will be truly gracious persons. We'll not have to give back in revenge everything that is given to us. But we'll be perfectly like him. And he said that they may behold my glory. Now we behold that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this kingdom of grace by faith. We behold his glory by faith. We see the glory. Well, first of all, we think of the glory of his Godhead. That is his essential glory, being God. It is inexpressible. It is incomprehensible. It is beyond our view. But we see it far off, and possibly we, even in the world to come, we'll never be able to behold it as it is. And no man hath seen God at any time, has seen his essential glory, because no man can see that essential glory of God and live. But he said in John, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. In other words, from all eternity, he has been a private observer, and he has been in the bosom of the Father, and co-equal, co-eternal with him in all of the decisions of the covenant. He, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hath declared him unto us. He has shown us the Father. He told Philip, "Have I been so long with you, Philip, and hast thou not known me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father." So the glory of the Father, which we can't behold, is in some measure revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We behold it by faith. So that's one way we see it. And look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, in verse 15, he's talking about the children of Israel here, but this is universally true of all men. Because of the prejudices of our heart, and because of our preconceptions of God through vain teachings that we receive every day through our interactions with other members of society. What they believe about God kind of rubs off on us. And so we're blinded to God as he is in truth by prejudices that are instilled in us as we are polluted in the pollution of this world. Verse 15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom. But we all, now who is this we all? Well, finally, in the wind-up, has to be all the election of grace, all those who God chose before the foundation of the world. But here it's talking about believers, but we all believers, with open face, in other words, unveiled,
yeah.
All our prejudice, well, not all of them, but a lot of our prejudices have been stripped away, and our pride and so on been stripped away so that we can see God to some measure as he is in truth. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the mirror, the glory of God. We see it in the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now look at this. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being changed. As we behold by faith the image of God our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's undetectable to us. We most time do not understand what's happening with us and how we're being changed from glory to glory. But this is the Word of God. That's what says it's what says that's what's happening to us, and so that's what's happening to us. We are being changed from glory. And if you look back on what you have been previously and see what you are now, You may be able to see, and you should be able to see, the change. Me personally. Now, years back, I didn't want to hear about church. I just didn't. And I didn't want to go to church, and I certainly was not interested in hearing anything about preaching, and wasn't interested in hearing anything about God. But it's a different story nowadays. So I've changed. There's been a change made. And I know who did it. It wasn't me. Because if God left me to myself, I'd have been worse off today than I am now. But he had a change. He had a change in mind, and he wrought that change by his power. Now, it's been a struggle. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. And it requires, in a warfare, there's some fighting going on.
Yeah.
And most of it's internal.
Yeah.
Although, if you're a preacher, a lot of it will be external with people who don't like your doctrine.
Yeah.
And because they don't like your doctrine, they don't like you either, and that's all right. But it is. It's an internal struggle that we contend with our two natures. There's the old man that loves sin, contrary to God, can never be changed. That which is born of flesh is flesh.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
We've got to be purified in the grave. We got to pass through death. Anyway, we are being changed. Now look at Romans 8, 28 and 29. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. Now, that's not everybody for sure. That's just a few. So everybody doesn't have that promise. And we know that all things work together for them to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God has determined that each of us should be conformed to His image. Now that's a big undertaking, and it'll take God to perform that. Mm-hmm. And do that. Look at 1 Thessalonians. And let's begin reading here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, where he says to us, rejoice evermore. Well, why should we do that? Because God determined to make you like His Son. Now that's pretty good. That's a great promise. We're going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be able to love God perfectly with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And we'll be able to better worship Him as He ought to be worshipped.
Amen.
And we will abide with Him. In that beautiful kingdom where He sits and reigns over all things with angels and seraphs and all the saints of old, all gathered together in perfect communion with God and the Lord Jesus Christ because of the union that we have had with Him from everlasting. That's good news. That ought to float your boat. That ought to get you down the river away. All right, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In a prayerful attitude. Knowing full well that we're always in the presence of our Heavenly Father. There was a door opened in heaven at Calvary. And we can go, we go into the very presence of the Almighty. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything that comes to you, give thanks. Good, bad, or ugly. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings or preaching. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Try the spirits, whether or not they're telling the truth. If a preacher gets up and begins to go off on tangents and get out of the book, turn him off. Abstain from all presence of evil. Now look at this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's above our abilities. God will have to do that. And he will. And that's what he has undertaken to do through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ delighted. There was a delight that he had in his sufferings and agony at Calvary. He was washing his bride. He was preparing her beauty. And all his accomplishments, all of his glory, the mediatorial glory, she'll be arrayed in that righteousness. That was his delight. Not only to do the will of the Father. And that was a great delight of his. But also to prepare and beautify his bride that the Father had given him from eternity. Father, I will that those who thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We look on him now by an eye of faith, but there's another way that we view him. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 7, I think is where I want to go. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Now that can be repentance. Put away that false doctrine that we've been taught from our childhood. That ye be not, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is crucified for us. Well, that ain't the verse that I wanted. It's a good verse, but it's not the one I wanted. The one that I wanted was, maybe it's 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Let's turn over there and look at that. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith in the kingdom of grace. Not by sight, but we walk by sight in the kingdom of glory. look at Psalms 84:11. Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace here to see, to understand, to believe, and glory hereafter when we arise in His perfect likeness, arrayed in that glory which He merited as God-man mediator. Mm-hmm. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, I don't know if we've been there yet, don't remember, but let's turn to 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. We're predestinated now. God has predestinated the entire election of grace, all the elect of all the ages. The usward of John, the usward who He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has predestinated that we should be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hath predestinated us to be to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to his own will. And He predestinates us. Look at this. John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Now that viewing Him with open face is a transformative view. We are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Into when we awake, we will be changed. We'll see Him as He is, and we'll be changed into that likeness to which we are predestinated in the purpose of God from eternity. Look at that's how it's going to happen. We're going to be changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And when we'll see Him, we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:6. Now by faith, we get a view of this now in the kingdom of grace, but then we'll see it differently. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We behold that glory now, though now we see through a glass darkly. But then, in the kingdom of glory, we'll see face to face. And we'll be changed. Not into that glory which is essential glory of His deity. That is incommunicable. But to that glory which He earned as man and mediator, standing as our substitute, fulfilling the righteousness of the law on our behalf, bringing in everlasting righteousness, the righteousness of God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But look back at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now what a blessed thing it is to be given eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to understand and believe, because it's altogether, all that is altogether contrary to our nature. We shut our eyes against the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to John 17, 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now what will it be to behold his glory? It'll be to be changed into that same glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see it darkly. We don't have a perfect view of it. But look at 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when we come to glory, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, because I was a child. Thy children shall be taught of God, but we understand in part now in the kingdom of grace. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also as I am known. Then I shall know him. I think that's what that's getting at. I'll know him. Not darkly, not seen at a distance, not far off, but face to face. And I'll know even as I am known.
Amen.
I will be conformed, changed into that image that God has purposed for us from the days of eternity. And it's no wonder then that in the Song of Solomon, the husband speaking to his beautiful wife, thou art fair. Thou art fair. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us indeed. Because we're his. I am his, and he is mine.